Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings. Bless those. We're alive because we want to stay alive, because the Creator has given us life to immerse ourselves in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. This is now the 316th class of Soul Class, and we've got a very special class. But before we proceed further, we're going to ask Bissel Mechila from Isaac Baton from his Generation Redemption album. Here comes the time, because we want to start the show. Okay, blessed souls. We have about 45 minutes today, and today's class will be as part of our ongoing efforts when we have the blessings and the opportunity to bring in some cultural artists. And today we have Ari Lester, a young lion who offers, or I should say roars more. We, with the Creator's blessings, plan that actually, as of now, here live on Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Uniting Souls actually plan to interview singer, MC, songwriter, Ari Lester, also who possesses a fine heart, who 3 weeks ago posted a song on YouTube.com called Boycott Israel, which has attracted over 250,000 views as of late last week, and I think the number will be growing, and I think it should be getting into the millions, hopefully, in the coming months. But I'll tell you the truth, blessed souls, when I first became aware of the song before listening to it, I shook my head warily, saying, uh-oh, here's another anti-Israel song. But soon after listening to a bit of it, I was swaying from side to side, back and forth, perceiving this young man has been anointed not to leave reggae music lovers disappointed, combining flowing and growing rhythms with lyrics full of magnetism to attract those of the creed that, as important as lip service is, good deed is essential to actualize human beings' soul potential. And by the way, some good news, Ari Lester has actually released a new digital album called Sfat Reggae, and now we're going to bring in Ari Lester. Good morning, young lion Lester.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you on. And Ari, before we talk, I would like to start the show with playing the first song from your album. I consider it like you're sort of like your moda ani, giving thanks to the Most High for making this album, and then we can go right into the interview, if you don't mind. So, blessed souls, here's a 3-minute and 39-second song called Ari Intro. And by the way, we're sending out a big shout-out to Yisrael Ibn Yitzhak, who is a Ben Noahide, who is listening to the show live from the Philippines. So here we go, and then Ari will go right into the interview. Enjoy, everyone.
My name's Ari, I'm a child of the earth, been around the sun 26 times since birth. Let home everywhere, the earth is my mother, so if you're from this planet, you can call me brother. Primary concerns, I have the water to drink, food to eat, air to breathe, and sometimes to think. A notebook to write in, a pen to write, and a pillow I can rest my head on each night. I don't worry too much, the conditions are adverse, no matter what happens, it could always be worse. Gotta move forward, can't move in reverse, so I go with the flow of the universe. I try to give thanks and my life is so blessed. Every single morning when I wake from my rest, cause I love me and me, my eyes still see, my lungs still breathe, and I still can see. And in the bathroom I give thanks for sacred mind, whether it's from a river, a lake, or a stream. I'm so lucky, clean water comes from my sink, allowing me to wash my hands and take a drink. No matter where I woke up before I hit the road, give thanks for shelter as I leave my abode. Mansion, apartment, house, tent, a shed. How wonderful it is to have a roof overhead. Give thanks for clothes, not for material reasons, but because they protect me no matter the season. Keep me warm in the winter and shade me from the sun. Let me focus my mind on thoughts of the one. I try to think of others and not only of myself, and pursue happiness instead of seeking wealth. The words of a lover, not the words of a hater. Remember that my life is just part of something greater. It's through the Almighty One that I pray. I do it every day in my own special way, knowing that there's something greater helps me to realize. I don't know much and I'm not that wise. I'm grateful and blessed to be who I am, living in a free country and born a free man. With hands that can work and legs that can walk, a mind that can think and a mouth that can talk. I can hear, I can touch, I can taste, smell and see. All five of my senses, they work properly. My mind and my body and my spirit are strong. My parents taught me the difference between right and wrong. I got water to drink, I got food to eat. I got clothes on my back, got shoes on my feet. I can do arithmetic, I can write, I can read. What more can I ask for? I have all I need. Look at your own life, and it's the same as you. You should probably give thanks to. Grateful, your basic needs are met, cause when you're living a good life, it's easy to forget. So easy to forget. It's so easy to forget. So don't forget.
Yes, blessed souls, that's Ari intro from his brand new digital album, Tzfat Reggae. Ari, when
hey.
I heard that song, I said I'm part of the congregation of people that love your music. Tell me, where did you get your start in music?
I started doing hip-hop when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Cleveland, and my high school is about 80% black, so the culture was very hip hop oriented. Everyone was into rap, and I started just as a joke, kind of, you know, just writing raps. People thought they were really good, and you know, to me, I was like, oh, this was just a joke. If I really tried and put my mind to it, try to write something, you know, conscious and positive, you know, I could make some good stuff.
Oh, I like the last line you mentioned, are conscious and positive. You know, I don't think any of us has the right to be ethnocentric to judge the sound of any music. But, you know, I live here in Crown Heights, and there is a very healthy, organic mix of Jewish people and African Caribbean and African American peoples and African diasporic peoples. And personally, myself, I have to admit that I was one of the ways that I was brought into Yiddishkeit was through the positive messages of Bob Marley. And I once approached some youth on right a couple blocks away from me. This was probably about 10 years ago on Carroll Street by Schenectady Avenue. And I mentioned, listen, you can make the rap sound as any way you want, but you have to have a positive message. Have you heard of Bob Marley? And they didn't hear of Bob Marley. I was in shock. So let me ask you this. What made you make that courageous decision? Because I want to tell you, Ari, I've been in and out of conversations, relationships with people in the music business, especially in the reggae business, Jamaicans, and they feel intimidated sometimes to put out that positive message. So where do you gain the inner strength to promote the positive message through, I think, will be a very long and prosperous career? But when you got to that fork in the road, should you go according to the disrespectful type of lyrics or the respectful music? What guided you?
Well, you know, when I started making music, I definitely had a mix. You know, I actually used to have, sort of two sides. I called it intelligence and ignorance. You know, and actually, I would have like a, I had like a menu I wear, like almost like a human jukebox. You know, and
right.
One column was all intelligence, and one column was all ignorance. So I let people pick. You know, I let people decide like which one. You know, you want a song. You know, you can pick one of these ones. These are all intelligence songs, and or you can pick one of these. These are all ignorance songs, and you'd be surprised, actually. Most people pick ignorant songs. That's actually what they want to hear. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, in some ways, that is, people do that because that's what people buy, I guess. You know, that's what sells.
Mm-hmm.
As for, like, where I got the strength to do positive stuff, I guess I give a lot of credit to my parents. Both of them are really
beautiful.
Amazing souls, and they...
beautiful.
You know, they taught me a lot, and they're very positive people and very conscious. So, you know, it was never difficult for me to know which way was right, you know, because they did a good job bringing me up.
Beautiful. Now, I'd like to share with you something about, you know, there's two perspectives on how to look at your name. From the Hebrew perspective, Aleph Resh Yud, which is Ari, so the nickname, I'm assuming that your full name is Aria.
No, actually, it's not.
Oh, it's Ari.
Family, so it was just Ari.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we look at, I want to just share with you, this is sort of speak my passing on to you a spiritual cup of coffee to open up the dialogue, that in the book of Genesis, that first of all, the numerical value of your name, Aleph, Resh, and Yud, corresponds to the word Gibor in Genesis 10, verse 9. And then it also means that Hadavar, the word, in Genesis 20, verse 10. It also means in Genesis 39, 4, and he appointed him in the book of Exodus, Yerah, to be seen, and also in the book of Leviticus, Ovager, and a stranger, and then in the book of Bamidbar, Yoyer, to make to shine. So here you are, this I think is connecting to you personally, Ari, and that basically there was nothing with the gematria of one, any word and two of 211 in the book of Deuteronomy, that it takes a courage to get up on stage because, you know, sometimes people will boo. Have you been booed, or have from the start you've been getting positive feedback?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, in terms of live performances, I can't, any time I was ever booed.
Wow. Beautiful.
I guess I can remember one time I was at a festival and I was doing some, I was at like just a regular music festival, actually Joshua Tree Music Festival in California. And I think I was singing some I was rhyming the Psalms in English. So I was singing one of my Psalms, and it was like one guy in the crowd who was like, you know, he was like totally anti-religion. And so he was,
mm-hmm.
He was like saying some stuff. I was all, you know, I don't remember, but everybody else in the crowd was enjoying it. So that's like the only time I can remember ever being like heckled at all. And it wasn't really about my music as much as you know, this guy had his own trip. You know, he was looked a little crazy himself, but you know, about religious establishment of any kind. You know, I'm sure he had had some troubles in his upbringing with whatever his community was. So, but for the most part, I get a ton of great positive feedback. You know, I'm really grateful to all my fans and supporters. And certainly when you put things online, you know, you end up getting your fair share of, you know, hate. Even online, you know, it's overwhelmingly positive. So, you know, Baruch Hashem, just give thanks for all that. You know, I don't really have to deal with the booze too much, at least yet.
Well, listen, as one of your newfound fans, and I am not ashamed to say that, even though I'm probably old enough to be your father, when I hear good, positive music, that's part of what I think is the procession of the revolution of love in our generation, because we see, I think, in the world right now, anything that's connected to sinas chinam, unwarranted hatred, and we don't have to name any places. People just have to open up their eyes and look in the internet or read the newspapers, as you do in Boycott Israel, or listen to the radio. All the moments of hatred are imploding right now. And I'd like to play now, Ari, a song called Love from your new digital album, Tzfat Reggae. And afterwards, if we can talk about, you can further embellish your perceptions of love and how love is ultimately the means by which we can assist the whole human family experience toward the universal redemption. So this is, I'm going to play Ari now, and you blessed those listening out there. Love, it's 3 minutes and 46 seconds, and I think you're going to love this song called Love by Ari Lesser from his new digital album, Tzfat Reggae. Please give a listen. That was Love by Ari Lesser. And Ari, I love that song. Talk about, and I just want to say before you embellish your personal feelings about the concept of love, ahava, that I give you great credit that you're able to speak with a certain, strength and courage to to open up your feelings, which could make you vulnerable in the eyes of others, to speak so openly of how you acknowledge your love to others, especially those close to you, your blessed family.
Yeah, wait, actually, you know, in this life, you hear in the chorus, I actually go through kind of four different kinds of love, and the song is actually under construction right now. This recording has two verses in it. The original had four verses in it, but two of the verses I'm reworking. But essentially the four types of love that kind of saw were, there's like the love you have for friends,
mm-hmm.
and there's like love that you have, you know, like intimate love that you would have with your wife, you know,
mm-hmm.
and there's love that you have for your family,
mm-hmm.
and then there's love that you have for God,
mm-hmm.
and each of them has is a little different, you know. So,
sure.
So that's what inspired me to write this song. Actually, was, you know, to go through the different types of love. So, you know, in this one, you only hear the last two. You hear the love for the family and the love for Creator, which, you know, are you know, very deep. You know, not to take anything away from the other ones, but you know, I still gotta rewrite those verses. So I'm working on it.
Are you gonna reintegrate into this new digital album or a separate release?
I might. You know, I don't know. Let's see if I ever, when I get it done. You know, mm-hmm. one of the things is I feel like until I'm married, I don't think I'm quite ready to write one of the verses yet, you know, the intimate verse. So, you know, I can't rush that one. I think I might have to wait until the time is right.
May I humbly bless you that this coming year you should get married, that you should, I promise you, not prophetically, but just as a person who's a little bit down the line, that when you get married, the creativity opens up, the sensitivities open up. Yes, there are other trials that open up to you, but hey, we're a people with a history of many trials, and Baruch Hashem, that we've made it to this day, 3,700 years plus after the original Hebrew Israelite, Abraham in the primordial sense. Of course, he was called Avram Ivri, the Hebrew. We seem to get through it, so I openly ask Hashem to bless you to get married this year, and it should be in a pleasant and peaceful manner. If we move on to a little bit more of a little more serious subject, I'd like to take you back, Ari, to a letter that I saw in 1968, Tafshin Chavches, that the Lubavitch Rebbe wrote in response to him being made aware of the fact that there was some sort of sounds like almost like a Dr. Frankenstein type of approach, that there was a viewpoint in the scientific community, probably fooled by the food industry, to run electric currents through the earth in order to, so to speak, supercharge the earth, that somehow it would cause the earth to be more fertile. And the Rebbe talked about the idea that, you know, we really have to do some in-depth scientific study, because if we take a look at the past 5,000 plus years of life on earth, the Creator seems to have a great system, which the Creator's GMO system is, you know, genuinely a godly manifested operation. And yet, unfortunately, today there is this idea of GMO, which is attracting, Baruch Hashem, thank God, international protests around the world. There's certainly mounting evidence, almost it seems like every day, by the likes of Dr. Gary Knoll and others who are very committed, with movements, again, with names on just so many people involved in it now. And you wrote a song called Seeds. I'd like you to comment, if you don't mind, about your perception of this issue, and why did you write a song, Seeds, and then I'd like to play it.
Well, you know, to me, you know, it's a even before I was, you know, religious, it's you know, been an issue that I'm, you know, involved with and aware of, and it's you know, it's in this modern age, we're experiencing this new phenomenon that really has never been, you know, throughout history done, which is, you know, our food is being altered from the way it it was originally created. It's being displaced with all kinds of, you know, things. They're even putting animal genes into our food.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, all kinds of pesticide and other terrible chemicals that you really don't want to ingest in any way. They're put there literally to kill, you know, other animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I'm getting religious, to me, it's even more of an issue because, you know, I think it's interesting that, you know, a lot of religious people I meet are not at all, you know, they're so conscious about every one of their actions, every mitzvah, every, you know, it's great, you know, they're so conscious about that, and yet they'll put almost any crap in their body. It's really,
that's right.
You know, it's really sad. And some of this stuff, I question if it's even kosher, you know? Like, what really, is a tomato that's been spliced with frog genes, is that kosher? You know? I mean, it's I think it's a valid question. You know, you buy this tomato in the store, it doesn't say on it, it's got frog genes in it. You assume you just say any other tomato. But
right.
That's what they literally have done with this genetic modification. A frog is not a kosher animal. If
that's
you
right.
Put its genes in a fruit, does that make it kosher? I don't know. And then pesticides is another issue, you know? I who knows what kind of ingredients are in these things that literally are sprayed all over the foods. So, you know, this song Seeds, I really like it because it actually brings two worlds that I'm involved with together, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I'm very involved, you know, in sort of the left wing, you know, environmental movement. You know, I think mm-hmm. it's a really important thing, and also I'm obviously an observant Jew, and oftentimes the two never meet, unfortunately. But what I really like in this song is that it's sort of like each of them can connect to this song in their own way. You know, I create, you know, sort of a biblically based argument. You know, sort of in support of, you know, Hashem's claim to all seeds on earth and therefore denying any human who wants to patent seeds, you know, which is another major issue in modern law is can you patent life, you know?
Right.
And right now there's big legal battles, and a lot of times, you know, the little guy is getting squashed, you know, we're aware of the issue, but, you know, Monsanto is one of the big ones, which is patent. They've gotten patents on a huge number of seeds, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is then if those seeds show up in somebody's field, you know,
mm-hmm.
Which they can be blown there by the wind.
That's right.
Or they can creep in from the neighbor's yard, you know. But
right.
If those seeds show up in someone's field, this corporation, which now has patented the seed, you know, then sues that farmer who has those seeds
right.
in his field.
They can knock them out of business.
It puts them out of business, and it's kind of, you know, to me, you know, I started thinking about it now that I've gotten into Torah, and it's like, you know, how do you have the right to own a seed? You know, it's very clear that Hashem made you and the seeds. You know, I mean,
that's
seeds,
right.
So what business do you have suing somebody else when God's seeds show up in their field? You know, so this is the song I wrote. You know, kind of to address that issue.
I would just like to just before we segue to the song, Ari, is that there's a professor up in Canada, I forgot if he's a mathematician or a physicist. His name is Arya Gottlieb. And in a related, in tangential, but it's directly related issue, that he said that if we knew how precious it is that the mitzvah, the negative mitzvah of Baal Tashchis, don't destroy, is relating to recycling the different types of garbage that we have, we would, you know, for a married man, we would actually put a girdle, a belt around our stomach in addition to the belt we wear on our waist, which is the same procedure we go through when we prepare ourselves to pray. So And also in the book of Genesis, it's clearly said that the Most High says, and again, Moses is the one who wrote it down. Moses, the prophet, took from the Most High to tell the entire human family experience, I have created produce of the field that will reproduce of itself because the produce will contain within it the seed. So it's really
right.
infringing upon the patent of the Most High, who made a perfect
right,
system
right.
of total food regeneration. With that being said, Ari and Blessed Elizabeth, I like to play Seed, and this is a very powerful song, so put on your seatbelts and get ready to have your conscience elevated, and hopefully this will become the theme song for the anti-GMO movement. Here we go.
God invested each type of seed, the tallest tree to the smallest weed, and all the creatures of every breed. Now some people may try to claim they make new life, but nothing changes. They reproduce more of the same, and the patent is already in God's name. Let's take a look at what was done in the Torah, book 1, chapter 1. In the beginning, we read the word that billions of people on earth have heard. God spoke and all things came to be. The light and dark, the earth and sea. The waters low, the waters high. The sun and the moon up in the sky. Every type of herb and plant and tree. Every fish and bird and beast we see. God made them with the seeds we find, and today they still reproduce their kind. As it was written, it shall read, God invented each type of seed, the tallest tree to the smallest weed, and all the creatures of every breed. Now some people may try to claim they make new life, but nothing changed. They reproduce more of the same, and the patent is already in God's name. Let's take a look at Monsanto's executives and CEOs who mix up frogs and tomatoes until they think they own what grows. They put their name on all they see and claim that it's their property. These monkeys think they made the tree and sell us fruit that should be free. They throw their poo at me and you, believing that they run the zoo. But they're locked in the cages too. Lord, forgive them, they know not what they do. As it was written, it shall read, God invented each type of seed, the tallest tree to the smallest weed, and all the creatures of every breed. Now some people may try to claim they make new life, but nothing changed. They reproduce more of the same, and the patent is already in God's name. There's only one Supreme Court, but human judges, they just snort. Then give Monsanto their support to patent life of any sort. And all the seeds they claim they own are thrown into the wind and blown. And then they wanna reap what's sown. In every field those seeds have grown. And if the farmer should refuse, well, then the corporation sues. They think that they can never lose, but every man must pay his dues. As it was written, it shall read, God invented each type of seed, the tallest tree to the smallest weed, and all the creatures of every breed. Now some people may try to claim they make new life, but nothing changed. They reproduce more of the same, and the patent is already in God's name. From mountaintop to ocean sand, each plant that grows throughout the land, and every creature, even man, we're all created by one hand. You don't own me, I don't own you. We all came up from seeds that grew. Each generation, the plants are new within this garden, through and through. Some weeds were pulled, but we were spared. Whole forests burned beyond repair. But God has watered us with care. So people offer thanks and sing your praise. As it was written, that it shall read, God invested each type of seed. The tallest tree to the smallest weed, and all the creatures of every breed. Now some people may try to claim they make new life, but nothing changed. They reproduce more of the same, and the patent is already in God's name.
Yes, blessed souls. That was Seeds by Ari Lesser. Ari. Now, we're coming down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and something I want to ask you, because to me it's a chibur mutsuyan, it's a tremendous connection. The holy city of Sfas, where actually I married with my Eshes Chayo, Sima Simcha, my wife of Vala. We started our life out after we got married in 1990, and reggae music. Wow, what? What made you think of, again, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that you start out with rap. So reggae and Sfas, to me, reggae is connected to the word of rega, which means for the moment, also hega, meditation. So talk to us about this connection, how you put the two dots together between reggae, and I'm assuming that you made the album in Sfas?
Yeah, I did make the album in Sfas, and I'll have to give a lot of credit to Yirmiyahu Ben Sion, who's the musician who put together all the wonderful music on the album, and he is an incredible reggae artist. He's based in Sfas, so his company also is Ma Mean Productions. So definitely check out what he does. He's on Facebook, Yirmiyahu Ben Sion or Ma Mean Productions. And you know, with what I do, you know, I just write lyrics, and I can pretty much put my lyrics to any style of music. So
beautiful.
It all just depends, you know, what musicians I work with, really. And I'll just adjust my flow to fit that style, or they'll take my melodies and sort of give them the vibe that they're working with, you know. So when I was going to Yeshiva in Sfat, I started collaborating with Yirmiyahu, and you know, he's just a really talented guy. You know, he makes all this music himself. He plays a lot of different instruments on the keys, but also he plays saxophone. So I mean, he's really, you know, just composing these whole songs you know, on his own. You know, it's really, really wonderful.
Tell the blessed souls out there, because again, I've been to Sfas, and anyone who's been to Sfas, you don't forget about Sfas. Tell them about the air, the beauty, the tranquility one can experience up in the north of Israel in that holy city called Sfas.
There ain't no spot like the city of Sfas, where the very air carries holy thoughts. With the view we got from the mountaintop, you can't see a lot, but you can see a lot. Sleep on top of the roof on a cot outside in the summer when the sun gets hot. The mikvah of the Ari does not take a dip before Kabbalat Shabbat. Take it from me, it's the place to be when the sun sets on Yom HaShishi. Sing Lecha Dodi on Rehov Ari. We welcome Shabbat like she's royalty. From the top of the Metzuda, you can see from Mount Meron to the Sea of Galilee, the deepest valley and the tallest tree in the territory of Naphtali.
I'm one second away before getting goose pimples on my arms. I think they're starting to rise up because you summed it up so beautifully in that little chant. Now, you're here in America. Are you now living in America? Are you going back to Eretz Israel? What's your plan?
You know, I travel around a lot. You know, my family's still in Cleveland, so I spend a lot of time with them there. But this winter I'm going to be traveling all over the place. I got shows in New York, L.A., Baltimore, Miami, Vancouver. I'm getting around, and you know, I keep booking more shows as I go. So there definitely are a good number of things going on in Israel too that I want to get back there and work on. So you know, I'm a traveler. You know, so
you sound like a descendant of Abraham.
Definitely. Definitely.
Let me ask you this.
My birthday is Cheshvan. It's Parsha Lech Lecha. So I'm very, very connected to Avraham Avinu.
You better believe it. And let me ask you this. Have you done, you were here this past Shabbos in Crown Heights for a Shabbaton?
I was, yeah. It was Chabad on campus Shabbaton. All the Chabad on campus rabbis from all around the country brought, 850,000 students
wow.
there in Crown Heights. So, it was a great scene. I was with my yeshiva in Sfat brought me out to sort of, you know, tell the kids a little bit about what it's like there and get people interested in coming out to Tzfat to learn if that's something they were looking to do. So,
Mayor Imtrup, what is the name of the yeshiva? Let's promote the yeshiva.
Yes, Yeshiva Tamimei Darach. It's in the old city of Sfat. Great, great place. You know, Rabbi Pasternak, Rabbi Gorenstein, you know, the two Rosh Yeshivas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Chabad Bal Tshuva. Not too big. It's like, you know, 20 guys. You know, I'm sure they'll be growing though. And they learn a lot of Hasidus and also Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Tanya. And you know, you're doing it all just in the heart of this holy city of Sfat. So you know, it doesn't get much better.
So you're in the old city.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's. All right, I miss those cobblestones and the kikar.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
Let's move on because we're running, unfortunately, to the end of the show. And I hope, Ari, that we'll hopefully in the future we'll be able to do a second interview. I'd like to do. We didn't have time today, but we didn't even talk about your acoustic bluegrass digital album, which I think is also something worthy of an interview. But okay, listen, with the Most High's blessings, we will reunite. Is there a listing of your concert appearances so people can look online to see where you were playing so they can catch you?
Right now, I haven't posted it yet, but the best thing to do is if you go like my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/AriTheMC, A-R-I-T-H-E-M-C.
Mm-hmm.
I will be posting it on there. So if you're interested, you want to see where I'm going to be. Also, I post whenever I make a new video, I post it on there. So if you want to just stay connected to my work, that's the easy way to do it. Facebook.com/ AriThemc, Ari the MC, and it'll be up there soon.
Well, Blinero, I will try, you know, during the week to keep abreast of what you're doing, and, you know, I try to do two or three radio shows during the week, and I'll try to let everyone know out there in Blessed Blog Talk Radio Land, whether live broadcasts or iPods or whatever way they can catch them, or iTunes, to let them know that you're in the area and hopefully they can catch you. Let's segue to the last part of the show, Ari. And again, when I first, I just caught a link that said Boycott Israel, and I saw you, and I'm like, oh no, another song against us. So what, you know, this song to me with the challenge of the prophets that he laid out before the nations historically in the prophecies, asking people to upgrade themselves and not to use a double standard, which you talk about in the song. Please talk about the next minute or two before we segue to the song to conclude the show about why you came out with Boycott Israel, this great song, which has got, by the way, international attraction, and I believe in a year from there it's going to have over 1 million views.
Well, Bezrat Hashem, it's got 260,000 right now. On the two links combined, it's only been up a couple weeks, so maybe, you know, Bezer Hashem, you'll be right over 1 million. But the way that this song came into being was an organization called Heroes Israel contacted me, and they wanted to create content that would appeal to college students.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of deal with these issues that are popping up on college campuses all around America, and I'm sure all around the world, they wanted to do a whole. You know, they basically liked my work, and they'd seen stuff I had done. I did a poem song that did really well, Poem Poetry Slam. So you can check that out on YouTube. But they just wanted to create the first two songs that they thought were really important and needed to be addressed immediately because they're just so prominent on college campuses today is the Boycott Israel, the BDS movement, and also the claim that Israel is an apartheid state. And they basically just, you know, they liked my style, and they gave me artistic, you know, complete artistic freedom to go about it however I wanted. And I decided to go about the boycott song in this way, which is, you know, not to you know, to try and convince people that Israel is flawless and you have no right to boycott us, but rather to just show the inherent double standard in, you know, picking Israel, you know, out of every country in the world to create a whole mass movement against. And you know, it's also written in that way because I really wanted to reach people who were on the fence. I didn't want to just preach to the choir with it. I wanted to,
right,
you know, actually connect with the, you know, the liberal college students who are actually, you know, I think, you know, I consider myself, you know, on the left, and
mm-hmm.
and I think it's one of the you know, main things that frustrates me about them. I really, most of the people who get involved with BDS and with this you know, anti-Israel stuff, it's not really that they're anti-Semitic or that they you know, have any real negative intentions. It's actually the opposite. They're very compassionate people, and
mm-hmm.
they've been convinced, you know, by the BDS propaganda that the Palestinian people are, you know, being oppressed by this monstrosity of the Zionist regime. And, you know, certainly the Palestinians, you know, have their share of problems, and I think, unfortunately, that the whole Arab world uses them as a pawn in a game, and I think they do have a unfortunate situation, and I pray for them too that they'll be able to, you know, live in peace. You know, really, I think that there's a lot of serious issues going on in the world, and to pick out Israel and say, you know, these guys are the worst, we need to boycott them, sanctions against them, they're an apartheid state, is really unfair and baseless. And I think the people behind the movement, you know, I don't think the people involved in it, but I think the people behind it are, you know, do have, you know, some the wrong intentions. And
I believe so
I hope
well.
To convince the people who are part of it, you know, to not be hypocritical and pick, you know, honestly, you know, if you're really serious and you want to, you know, be totally, keep your hands free of any injustice, you know, maybe do it. You know, I'm not saying don't, but be fair about it and boycott these other countries too. You know, take a look. I mean, it's not just a joke that these other countries what they do. I'm not just trying to make the case that you shouldn't boycott Israel. I think there are serious human rights abuses going on in the world that I wanted to bring people's attention to. So, anyways,
well,
I
mean that's a nice encapsulation of what the song portrays, and I mean personally, I just want to mention that I think the true peace process will be, and I think that it shouldn't be to the extent of negating the cultural sensitivities or even the religious or faith-based sensitivities of our Arab cousins, whether they be Christian or Islam, is to share with them and come with a full strength of faith in the Most High, that they have their seven universal commandments. And I know on the ground from talking to activists and hearing activists speak that outside of the political process, there is in fact a lot of cooperation, not only between Jewish people, like say living in Hebron with the farmers over there, working with the Arab farmers in different parts of the country, and the media and this group of people want to undermine the peace process by imposing a phony peace process only causes more damage. And as well, there's a button that's being pushed, which I think causes a lot of dysfunctionality spiritually, economically, and intellectually. The pushing the button that's railing against what the blessing that was given in chapter 12, verse 3 to Abraham and his seed, that if there is a spirit of cooperation, even if the nation, those who will bless us will be blessed, and those who do the opposite, it's not a good ending for them, and that it's our responsibility as well to come forth as Jews to be full of pride, not arrogance, but pride and humility, to remind people there are axiomatic equations in the creation, which are the type of spiritual physics, that if we see that if there's cooperation based on the fact that we are, in fact, all ultimately related, dating back to Noah, dating back to Adam, going back to the Creator's plan, that things can work out. All right, I'd like to thank you profusely for coming on the show today, and I hope in the future we will be able to do an interview with, and hopefully in a more technologically savvy fashion, because this is only Blog Talk Radio. Hopefully we'll expand all efforts with the blessings that we hope to bring upon ourselves and to share with others. Blessed souls, this is Don Zosio Goodman. We've had the great pleasure and honor of someone I think is going to be a musical force in the coming years, and Bezat Hashem, he'll be getting married in this coming year, and then we're going to hear his marriage album, whether it be in bluegrass or reggae or hard rock or whatever, a cappella, whatever. This is Boycott Israel. Blessed souls, remember everyone, Hateva Tov Lehetiv, the Most High is the source of all good, who does good. And if you're listening to this show, or will listen to the show in the Blessed Archive version, that means you're good, because if you're in Creator's creation, you've got to be good. Here's Boycott Israel by everyone. Laham Sheikh, to be continued. Bahava Chad, one love, Gorel Chad, one destiny, Kulanum. Bardach Hisham, in a peaceful way, Darchinom, in a pleasant way. Take care, everyone.
Boycott Israel if you think that's just, but unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations with allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott North Korea, I don't think you'll see a country in the world that could be unfreer. Boycott China, let's not forget they stole the whole country of Tibet. Boycott Japan, slaughtering thousands of helpless innocent whales and dolphins. Boycott Vietnam, where they choose to use drug addicts and slaves to shell cashews. Boycott Cambodia, grabbing up land, 5 million acres from the poor man's hand. Boycott Thailand for shutting the door and deporting refugees back to the war. Boycott Burma, don't let your cash slip into the grip of that military dictatorship. Boycott India, women can't escape when the government officials are guilty of rape. Boycott Pakistan, crazy country where they execute people for blasphemy. And boycott Afghanistan, opium land, where the poppy fields stand in the Taliban's hand. And boycott Israel if you think that's just, but unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations with allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott Syria, their government's killing thousands of innocent unarmed civilians. Boycott Iraq, make them change the laws. They lock up and torture people without cause. Boycott Iran with the greatest rate of execution out of every other state. Boycott Turkey because they've always denied and lied about the Armenian genocide. Boycott Turkmenistan, we're the only media that you ever see is what the president of media. Boycott Uzbekistan, government's rotten, enslaving children to harvest cotton. Boycott Russia because every year more Muslims mysteriously disappear. Boycott Ukraine where the politicians lock up the opposition so there's no competition. Boycott Belarus, presidents gotta go, you know those elections are just for show. And boycott Germany cause there's no reparation for murdering half the Jewish population. And boycott Israel if you think that's just, but unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations with allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott Sudan, the Darfur genocide, where hundreds of thousands have already died. Boycott Egypt and don't let that narrow-minded president, he backed in like Pharaoh. Boycott Saudi Arabian oppression, the women getting beat up, treated like possessions. Boycott Bahrain, police brutality against the Shiites and by the Sunni monarchy. Boycott Yemen, make them stop the obscene execution of juveniles under 18. Boycott Eritrea, national slavery, where they work for free indefinitely. Boycott the Congo, doing terrible things. Sell blood diamond engagement rings. The boycott Zimbabwe, you find all kind of torture behind those government minds. The boycott South Africa, make them pay for the hundreds of women raped every day. Boycott Ivory Coast, sound the alarm. There's thousands of slaves on those cocoa farms. And boycott Israel if you think that's just, but unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations for allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the shoes. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott Chile because they deny abortion, even if the mother will die. And boycott Brazil, where the brutal police kill thousands of people to keep the peace. Boycott Venezuela, closer inspection shows that the socialists stole the election. Boycott Colombia, putting out the lights of anyone who fights for union rights. Boycott Ecuador, for stealing the lands of indigenous people for their corporate lands. And boycott Costa Rica, where they've applied so much pesticide that hundreds have died. Boycott Honduras, where a journalist gets shot if he writes anything like this. Boycott Mexico in the war on drugs. The military acts like a cartel thug. Boycott the USA, make them pay for torturing people in Guantanamo Bay. And boycott Cuba, but if the government hears you criticize them, you'll be locked up for years. Boycott Israel if you think that's just, but unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nation for allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news.